Welcome to Plato's Gravity. This is Aaron.
And I'm Jacob.
Boy, I really should have opened the beer before we started the show there, huh?
Oh, wait, why? I mean, isn't that kind of the thing? It's like you... Like, I don't know. I think sometimes people don't know that we're actually like... Like, no one knows if this is real.
Well, I mean, I think the can pop sound is cool if you do it not when someone's introducing themselves.
I guess, but no one tunes in to hear what I have to say.
Also, I don't expect you to introduce yourself right when I was popping the can. Usually you wait and dilly-dally for some time.
That sounds like a personal problem.
So, guitar on the show. That's exciting.
Yeah, can you even hear that? Is that picking up in the mic?
Yeah, Jason, you're using like a laptop mic. It's going to pick up anything you do in that room.
I don't. No, I'm actually using the. I think I'm using my headphones. Mm. I'm trying them out, Aaron. I got some new headphones.
All right, that's good stuff. They look nice. The headphones. They're the Palpatine headphones from yesterday.
That looks nice.
They. Oh, you lost your cape though.
That's true. I'm actually naked right now.
So let's jump into this. We're drinking an Irtipel Edelbier, which is just another Helles. The can, it gives away the location.
You're ignoring the fact that I'm...
What?
Yeah.
I'm ignoring whatever you're doing.
That's... All right.
Not intentionally. I mean, sometimes I just...
That gives me permission to do other weird shit.
So no, we're going to talk about this beer. How do you like this? So it's another Helles, right? It's another Helles, right?
Yeah.
Do you know enough about German art to tell where it's from?
Sorry, you say German art?
Yeah, the beer tasting app suggests that by looking at the can, you will be able to tell where the beer is from.
I'm going to say Nuremberg.
Mm. It is Bavaria. Apparently, this blue diamond pattern is very Bavarian.
I see, in my head, being from Indianapolis, I thought that was a checkered flag. And so I associate it with racing. And so I thought the Nuremberg Ring, which I don't actually think is in Germany.
That's very American of you. Yeah, I think is Nuremberg a country?
No. Well, no, it might actually be in Germany. It's just it's a racetrack. And for some reason, it might be in like Sweden or something. We're like sitting here on the internet. We could just...
You can. I'm very busy. So today's a very special day for me. This is the third Sunday of our edition. Now, this Advent calendar doesn't map on to like the church's Advent calendar. However, it's only 24 days, which is different than Advent. The third Sunday of Advent is a day where the church, instead of wearing purple garments, the people in the church wear rose-colored garments.
Okay.
So if you are of the Catholic variety and you go to church today, it's very likely that you'll see a priest wearing a big rose chasuble, which looks like a sheet to people who don't know what chasubles are. It's usually nicer fabric than a sheet, though. They're very expensive.
Wait, so it's like a sheet with really high thread counts.
Yeah, and thicker fabric, really, too. Yeah.
Interesting.
Like wool.
Okay, So why are they suddenly, why is there a wardrobe change in the middle of the show?
So
if we consider the Advent to be a single performance,
a purple performance,
wardrobe change in the middle of the show or two thirds of the way through the show seems very Lady Gaga.
Well, you know, purple is a color that's associated with atonement. But as we've mentioned, Advent is a season of joyful kind of atonement, like atonement, but with the anticipation of something great coming, and it kind of has that hope. But because it's a season of atonement mixed in with that joyful hope, the third Advent is like the third Sunday in Advent is like when you've gotten over the halfway point. So that pink is like a sign that we're about to be able to go into a brighter, more light time in our lives, even though it's still in the middle of Advent and we still have this minor bit of atonement to deal with. Like we're halfway there. So we wear rose, which is a sign of life and newness.
That might be one of the most beautiful things about the church, really any church, is the amount of ceremony and metaphor. That's not, that wasn't me. That was my cat.
Frank?
Playing guitar. Oh, no, look. I don't know. Yeah, no, that is Frank. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
That's little Frankie.
What's interesting, I don't know if the people who put this Advent calendar together know about lots of Protestant traditions, but many, many of these cans have been blue in color. And,
oh, interesting.
And blue, is there something about... in some progressive Catholic churches and then in some Protestant churches, blue is actually the liturgical color of Advent.
Interesting.
And not purple.
Okay, so check this out. So you know, I said it was Nuremberg.
Yeah, Nuremberg.
And you said that it was.
I said it was a country, which seems to be very wrong.
No. You said that the can.
Oh, Bavaria.
So as it turns out, Nuremberg is a town in Bavaria.
Oh,
in Germany.
You crushed it. Maybe it is.
I got real specific. And then I learned how to not. Play guitar.
Yeah. Can you give me a chord of the G variety? Listeners, I'm gonna need your help. Can you tweet us at Plato's Gravity or send us an Instagram post at Plato's Gravity and let me know if that was G. I have no idea.
I just tuned it, but it's an old guitar. So
If you tuned it, and it's not in tune, did you really tune it, or did you just adjust the knobs?
I fiddled.
You fiddled? That's a different instrument.
I made a really dumb joke the other day that I was kind of proud of, Aaron, and I thought you would like this.
Yeah?
Someone, you know, I work in software, I was reviewing someone's code, and they were saying something about... they were having issues, and I was like, oh, that sounds really bad. And they're like, no, it's just being fiddly. And I said that of all the people to let into your code base, God damn it, Frank.
Frank is in the code base?
No, Frank's over here just being, he's the best cat in the world, but he's so dumb. It's just, he doesn't, Frank, what are you doing?
Well, you know, he doesn't recognize himself in a mirror, and it's hard when that's true of your life.
I don't think he recognizes anything, period.
So fiddly code,
the worst person that you could possibly let into your code base is Charlie Daniels.
I don't get the joke.
Because he's a fiddle player.
Oh, because he's a fiddle player? Oh, I mean, I guess. There's lots of fiddle players, though. I mean, you know what, Jason? I'm so sorry. Let's do it again.
Hang on.
You say the worst person that you want to put in your code is Charlie Daniels.
Yeah.
And then I will chuckle.
That's all right.
No, that's
I'm
fine.
Good.
I told...
I made myself laugh.
I told a nerdy, a nerdy joke at work the other day, too. You want me to share it with you?
I don't consider the joke that I made nerdy. You're putting it on that joke. But well, sure, whatever.
It's fine. It's fine. Okay. It's a Charlie Daniels computer coding joke. I think it qualifies whether you believe it is not.
Interesting.
Yeah, if you listened to the show yesterday, you'll know that this is all subjective. So what the fuck ever.
Bye, Frank.
So the joke I made, one of my coworkers was complaining because he was working with a tech support guy who didn't know how to use the command line. And that seems like a relevant skill for a tech support guy.
Sure.
And then he said he didn't even know how to change directories. And then I said, did you backslash him?
I like that. Although, I also, in my head, immediately thought that the way you change directory is by using the change directory command. Which is not, it's not actually funny. That's me stating fact. You know what we need to do, Aaron, is stop drinking beer.
Okay, why do we need to do that?
And start a podcast about being two dudes with cats.
My cat is awesome.
Two dudes with cats!
Would it be kind of like this podcast where we have a podcast that has something to do with cats in the title and then we just talk about beer the whole time?
Well, but we would probably talk about how Roxas hates me.
Yeah, my cat does hate Jason. My cat hates Jason ferociously.
And it's weird because, like, I love that cat so much.
She's a beautiful cat. She's a meth that, you know, yeah, you can't be a seeker all the time, Jason. You know, you got to let her come to you.
That's true.
She's, it's on her time, man. It's on her time, Roxas. Who's, by the way, named after a video game character.
That's true, nerd.
Don't call me. It's actually.
What's going on in your life?
What's
how
that?
How are you enjoying that new. Yeah, how are you enjoying that new house that you're living in?
You know what? It's been really nice. It's so we moved from a 2-bedroom apartment to a big house with many square feet, and
you got arrested.
No,
put up in the big house.
There's more. Yeah. I moved into a 37,000 square foot home, but I only have access to a 10x10 spot. No, I didn't do that. I don't know how big prisons are. I'm guessing 37,000 square feet is the size of some small prison somewhere. I don't know. There's lots of emptiness in the house yet. We haven't filled it up with stuff yet, which I think is kind of it's kind of nice. People might come over and be like, "Oh, it's empty in here," but they can suck it because I'm enjoying it.
Man, I struggle with the fact that there's just so much shit.
I don't want to fill it up with too much stuff. Yeah. Actually, it's kind of nice to have a bunch of space and not a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, well, okay. I don't want to get all Marie Kondo on you, but it's nice to have it filled with just the right amount of stuff that you like.
Yeah. I mean, stuff that brings you joy, right?
There's a
wall of board games in the house, which is exciting. There wasn't a wall of board games. There were other kinds of shelves. That's great. I have a kitchen island again. I haven't had a kitchen island for a couple houses.
Did you know that no man is an island?
No man is an island?
Yeah.
What if he's treading water for a really long time?
That's interesting. That's an interesting, as a philosophy person, I want to hear your take on this. If a person is floating in water for a certain period, how long does something have to float in the water before it's considered an island instead of whatever it was?
I mean, I don't think it's as interesting as you think it is. I mean, I don't think a styrofoam cup is ever going to turn into an island. I think there's size requirements, right? So, like, if it were a really fat guy, he could maybe become an island.
Well, hang on a second. So let's talk about some normal flotsam, jetsam kind of situation where you've got logs that are just floating out, and a turtle jumps up on that log and decides to sun itself on that log. Is that log now an island?
No, it's a log.
But there's something using it as
nobody ever went onto my pond and saw a lily pad with a frog upon it and was like, "Oh, look, the frog is on an island."
Stop pretending like you have a pond. That's weird, Aaron.
You haven't seen the new house yet.
All right, that's true.
Palpatine
room.
There's no pond.
Oh, that's. Probably, I don't know.
I was, as I was telling that story, envisioning a pond that was owned by my uncle in the past.
Oh, okay.
It had lily pads on it with frogs who sat upon them.
I feel like that's an old logic puzzle. The no man is if no man is an island, then I don't know. It was in like textbooks, Aaron, in college, and not philosophy.
What's the meaning of the phrase? I don't know that it rings a thing to me. It doesn't.
No man is an island.
Yeah.
Well, in discrete mathematics, you say something like that to, if no man is an island, then also the controversy is true, or something like that. It's a terrible example. The actual like. No man is an island means that no one is alone. No one is completely separated from the rest of humanity.
But if you suck a lot and you just have one friend, then you might be a peninsula.
No man is an island, but some men are peninsulas.
What's I think peninsulae should be the plural of peninsula.
It It might be.
But we have, certainly, we do not have a kitchen peninsula, which is a new popular thing. They do kitchen peninsulas. I don't really care for it. I'm happy for the island.
You know what I want to see is the kitchen archipelago, where it's just like little dots of counter space that you have to kind of wind your way through to get to the dining room.
You know what I would do with a kitchen archipelago? I would devise a game where you had to throw ping pong balls and touch every island in the archipelago, and then try to land it in the sink.
Oh my god, sounds amazing.
It would be very fun.
And like, depending on how well they're built, how amazing would that be for kids to play lava floor?
Yeah, however, lava with the floor is lava. However, when you go to chop something up, you're like, fuck it, I need the big island, Jimmy. Get off of the big island. I'm chopping onions. It takes more. Are you drinking out of the can? Have we talked about this?
I just didn't want to. I'm saving the environment. Fuck you.
No, I'm drinking out of a reusable glassware. I'm using minimal amounts of water to clean my beer glass.
Sure. You know what's even more minimal than the amount of water you used?
The amount of water that you used to drink that beer.
We
know how much water it takes to make beer. That's still not a small amount.
Well, but this is, shut up.
It does make, for those non-beer brewers who might happen to be listening to this episode, it takes a tremendous amount of water to make beer.
It's actually it's the number one ingredient, but it's also, it's not just used as an ingredient in the beer. It's used to cool the beer.
It's the medium for the sanitizer to clean your shit.
Yeah, you're cleaning shit with water. Like, water is so vital to every step of the process.
Yeah, water is
and
imminently present in the beer making.
And that's why it always impresses me when we talk to breweries. When breweries have been kind enough to talk to us, they all talk about their water conservation efforts.
Right.
Reusing water, making sure that no water, unless it's going in the beer, the water's getting used minimum two times to do something. Because it's expensive for them, and it's realistically, it's expensive for all of us, for the energy, not just to pump the water, but then to clean the water as it comes out.
Well, they have fancier stuff at breweries. Like, when we brew beer at home, if we're using our counter, we don't have a counter flow. If we're using our wort chiller, like our, our immersion chiller, like we probably use to make a 5 gallon batch of beer, we probably use, 20 gallons of water. Cause we're just basically, I don't know what the water flow is on my hose, but it takes 10 to 15 minutes to cool the beer, and we're just running the hose the whole time.
Yeah, the hose is just, it's water that's going through copper coils, cold water going through copper coils. The coils are inside of the hot wort and, cools down the beer. But then on the other end of that copper coil is another hose that just goes out into nothing.
But breweries use surface area magic to do this. They run water.
Yeah.
They run water in one pipe in an opposite direction as the water coming from the other pipe. And it cools on one pass, so you only typically waste about as much water as the beer that you're making.
Which is still waste. It's still water that is beer. It's not going into something you're going to consume.
But I'm consuming the fruits of its labor.
Far less waste.
Yeah.
Because that's a one-to-one, whereas our ratio is usually around 4 or 5 times as much water.
Right. Well,
into the beer.
And not to mention all the water that gets absorbed in the grain. Like, usually it's, about 60% of the water that you start the brew day with ends up in the beer, even if you don't include the water that you're cleaning with or chilling with. It takes a lot of water. So we got a little geeky on the beer making in here. We didn't talk too much about...
Hold on. Wait a second. Did we just talk about making beer?
We did. That's how the podcast started, really. We talked about chilling beer. We didn't talk too much about this Bavarian Helles, but honestly, I'm bored of Helles. Like, I love Helles. If you gave me 6 of these and said, Aaron, you have to drink these 6 Helles today, I'd be like, fuck yeah. But I am a little tired of talking about them. They're all really good. I haven't had a bad one, except for maybe one.
I still don't think this is my favorite.
No, my favorite one, it was the first one. The brewer of this beer says that it's like a bit of sunshine. And it is very clear and very golden yellow.
Yeah, I don't disagree with... Well, and it tastes very shiny.
It does not taste
shiny. This is also a much... no, I disagree. It tastes very shiny. It's also a lighter beer.
Yeah, it's
so this is only 4.6.
Yeah, 4.6. We call this a session beer in America. So, yeah. Well, we hope you guys have enjoyed listening to this somewhat low-key episode of the podcast. I think Jason's going to play us out while I tell you to hit us up at Plato's Gravity on Twitter and Instagram, or oldschoolpodcast@platosgravity.com.
Yeah,
we will see you tomorrow. To Jason's great joy, I do not know what we'll be drinking tomorrow. I have not unboxed it yet. It is not in my fridge.
Yeah, stop on things earlier, Jesus.
Damn it! I like to have cold beer, Jason. But yeah, we'll see you guys tomorrow. In the meantime, tune your guitar so it sounds better than Jason's. Drink some beer and have some fun.